I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elvin. Elvin will score. Elvin will score. Newcastle has won.
G'day guys, welcome back to Beers and Break Evens, brought to you by Blue Wealth Property. They make investing in property easy for you. Also brought to you by the best drop in the country, Bloke in a Bar, mid-strength, full strength. Kempe has got you covered. Special guest today. It's good to have someone with some Supercoach knowledge join me for a fucking change.
Poor Wim Tilliams, mate.
Poor Wimmy Tilliams. He does it tough, let me tell you. Does it tough. Tony, welcome back, mate. What's doing?
Good to have you back. Good to see you, boys. What's doing? Same old, mate.
Yeah.
You know, raising kids and working hard.
How'd the team end up?
Not that well. Yeah. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. The comp ended up, I'll give you a bit of a summary. I missed finals. Last year I won, it was father versus son. So I beat my son Benjamin. This year it was brother v brother. And young brother David beat older brother Lim, which makes me happy because Lim's a Parramatta supporter and I hate everything Parramatta.
Good.
You know, Jake, 2 years in a row, had too many trays left at the end, so he's holding the trays to the end. Theory doesn't work. We're all negotiating, you know, theories about boosts and whether they work this year or not. But, yeah, mate, I was let down by the Manly boys, DCE and Ola. They killed my season, and I was very glad that we got the one-point victory over them on the weekend. Gave me a bit of... Bit of a wry smile.
Lucky you're not one to hold a grudge.
No,
mate, Supercoach twin father and son, very special thing. I was lucky enough to have my son join me this year. Young Wimmy. Welcome back, mate.
Thanks, Pa. I'll tell you what, the sit here dreading this podcast since last time Tony was on the show. I don't even get introduced first on my own show. I'm just brushed to the back seat. Mate, it's my own roast and I get introduced last. Anyway, one thing I will say, after copping an absolute hammering last time Tony was on about not having Joey Manu for his 191, he's just quietly finished the season with a 5-round average of 57 points since then. So, trap, mate. I tried to tell you.
Yeah, well done. Well done. You picked it.
Very nicely done. Now, we're going to go through four teams today, review their Supercoach season for 2022, and then have a little sneak peek at 2023 guys that we're going to watch. And there's a couple of teams here that are really interesting for 2023. There's a couple that I don't think I could go near with a 10-foot pole, but there are some interesting ones. We'll start with Tony's Canterbury Bulldogs, 2022. For me, their best as far as Supercoach goes. He wasn't their highest scoring or their highest averaging player, but Maxi King, good God, he did a solid for us this year. Front row forward was an absolute nightmare. You must have been stoked with him this year, Tony.
Awesome, mate. And, you know, obviously when you like to not be biased by your own team when you're picking a Supercoach team, but to a great extent you are. You know, you always pick those three or four players that are never going to play, but they're always your team. So Maxi King and, for me, Kiraz were two real finds this year, and they really did a job for us. But Maxi particularly, because of the consistency of the front row forward position. For me, he was a killer. He was awesome. So, loved him.
Mate, front row forward was just a battle this year, wasn't it, Timmy? Yeah. To have him come in and do a job 60s most weeks, sensational.
Yeah, he did. And It was a funny one. I owned him the entire year, but I really only played him a handful of times, and it was early on in the year when he was sort of only pumping out 40s, maybe early 50s. A lot of his better 60-plus scores, I didn't really play him, and he was so vital to my depth because the only place I was a little bit leaky in that back end of the year and I was a bit worried about when trades got scarce was front row forward, and I held him as backup to IPAP and Taumalolo. So if either of IPAP or Taumalolo were to play, to go down the last like five rounds, I would have had to bring in King. Mm. And I was like, I felt so good having him there as backup, but I didn't actually end up needing to play him. In hindsight, if I'd actually played him out over Taumalolo, who was always going to play fewer minutes in that Penrith matchup in the final round, I would have won our little $200 bet. So King, he could have really finished on a high for me, but I didn't play him.
Yeah, he's a would-have, could-have merchant over here, Timmy Williams. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Now, Matty Burton, took him a while to warm up this year. Once he did, played some really good footy. If you picked your right moments with him, you got some great scores out of him. I think Jeremy Marshall-King, I'd say he's probably Canterbury's best player this year. You watch more of their footy than me. What would you say?
100%. 100%. Yeah. I think Jez really, he was ridiculed a little bit for a statement he made pre-season about wanting to be one of the top five hookers in the comp. Mm. But, you know, if you review the 16 hookers across the game, I reckon he's pretty close.
And he wasn't far off.
So I reckon there weren't that many hookers that did a job better than Jeremy did for us. And particularly that sort of post-Barrett period where Kingy started to start. So he really was pumping out bigger scores then. But for me, JMK in that period there, where we had, after we pumped Para, which was the happiest day of my life. But those next few weeks after that, you know, he went on a real run. And anyone who had Burton and JMK in that period really loaded up.
Fancy the people that got mad at JMK for wanting to be the best he can be.
Yeah.
Fucking it's so backwards.
Mate, honestly, as Aussies, we say so much dumb shit when people want to sort of, you know, set goals or be good. If that was an American, I'd be all over him.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I think the other best one, I think I had him for a brief period. Kiraz. Now, we joke about he has a statue in your place. One of the greats, Kiraz, in the front yard, in the lounge room, your side of the bed. He's everywhere, Kiraz. What a find. Good God.
Yeah. And a great kid from a great family too.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to fill your club with good people and good players, and he's top shelf. So really did a job for all of us in terms of beefing up the value of our teams, and he had some really good games there where he scored. Fell off a little bit towards the end there.
Yeah.
So I think he might have hurt a few super coaches there towards the end because he had some pretty average scores at the end.
So he played round seven. He was outside the top squad starting. So he wasn't available until that round 11 where he became a regular.
Correct.
What a bugger.
We got dispensation, I think, for him to play that first game.
Yeah.
So Gus had to get dispensation for him to play that first game, and it was against Brisbane in Brisbane.
Came in, looked awesome.
We went up there. Yeah.
And then he wasn't picked for a few more weeks, and everyone's sitting there, why the hell aren't they picking him? It's like, that's why.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to.
He got the last. I think he got the last spot, actually.
Yeah.
Last top 30 spot.
Cracking season from Kiraz. Most disappointing. There wasn't too many guys that we were relying on as far as Supercoach went from the Canterbury Bulldogs, but Tevita Pangai Jr. I mean, we warned you during the year that if you're going to go TPJ, pick him the absolute week that you need him. I remember, I think it was it for round 13 or 17? People went a little bit early.
Yeah.
He didn't end up playing in the bye week or something. He let you down somewhere there. I don't know. Tevita Pangai Jr. Is he a guy that you could consider in the future? I know you're a proud Bulldogs man.
Mate, look, no one finds an offload like TPJ.
Yep.
So, you know, it really just depends on the role that Serrano plays him next year. But I wouldn't be starting with him. I probably want to have a bit of a look at what kind of role he's going to play. Are they going to make him fitter and get him to play more minutes? Like, as a Bulldog supporter, to pay that much money for a bloke that plays 30, 35 minutes, gets subbed on and off three or four times, not good enough.
Yeah.
He's borderline never again list for me. And I'm not strong on this list that a lot of people have just because things change so quickly. And it could change with him, but... And again, we spoke about it earlier on in the season, but... When you have his injury history, his suspension history has been known to carry on off field a little bit. There just always seems to be a little drama around him somewhere. And just Supercoach-wise, he just never seems to hit the potential. He'll go on a streak where he'll go ton, ton, ton and have 14 offloads a game and he'd be like, this bloke is just the perfect super coach.
But does he? But does he? I don't know if he does. I reckon all of us have been blinded by the lights of what he could. Yeah, I reckon we've been hoodwinked. Have a look at his data.
Have a bit of a look.
I don't know if he's ever had back-to-back tons.
Yeah,
so, he's just one of those blokes.
Last year, the Bronx, he had a ton in round two and then in round seven with just everything and everything in between.
One of those was against us, by the way.
Of course.
That was the memory. So you maybe you're right. Maybe we're just caught into this, this belief of he just looked like – so he had 114 in one of his games back in 2020. So, yeah, like – maybe it is just a facade and it's not that good.
If you're looking for a silver lining and to be hoodwinked once again, I would argue probably the most consistent and best 5 or 6 weeks of his career was when he was at the Penrith Panthers last year. Cameron Serraldo was obviously in that room. So there might be some sort of a relationship there.
I think that's my point.
There.
I think it depends how he plays him.
Yeah.
And, you know, the commentary around TBJ has always been who can get the best out of him.
Yeah.
Bennett was the bloke who could get the best out of him. Then he went to Penrith for that little stint, you know. Cleary seemed to get some good stuff out of him. But is he one of those, you know, it's like the kids when they're playing in a team that's winning, everyone wants the ball.
Yeah.
So he went to Penrith and he was playing with all these champions and maybe that lifted him to another level, you know. So who knows? We'll see.
Now, speaking of the Penrith Panthers, you're having a little reunion out on the left edge there next year. You're going to have Matty Burton at 5'8". Viliami Kikau comes in. Josh Adokar, he'll be on the sting. That left centre spot becomes very interesting. I think Aaron Schott will get that spot. And I think he's a guy that we need to probably watch heading into next season. But, mate, there are a couple of young guys. There's young Alamotti. Brandy's been doing really well this year. He's improved out of sight. Struggled in the trials this year. But I think people have got to remember, he was a kid. That was his first ever time playing against adults. Yep. He's improved a lot this year. But, mate, the one that's popped out of nowhere, and I'm very keen to hear your thoughts on him, Jarrell Skelton. Yep. To me, he looks like the real fucking deal. He's one I'm interested in. Tell us about him.
So he's a rugby union kid. Very mobile, very agile, big, strong, fast. I mean, he's got all the characteristics. The question becomes, do they play him on an edge or do they play him in the centres? I reckon he'd make a great centre. But Serraldo might have different ideas. But I agree with you. I think that left edge, I'm hoping as a Bulldogs fan that that left edge is going to become one of the most dangerous ones in the league. I think with a bit of bit more creativity out of dummy half with Reid Marnie coming in, I think that left edge could prove pretty dangerous. You know, this year it's give the ball to Birdo type scenario. I think next year there will be a little bit more subtlety around that. And that centre, that left edge back rower and that centre, I think could benefit significantly.
As much as I think Jeremy Marsh King had an unbelievable season, I think the service of Reid Marnie is just about unrivaled in this competition. So early ball to Burton will be the play. So Skelton, Alamotti, guys to watch. Matty Burton as well, another season at the Canterbury Bulldogs, another preseason. Hopefully you guys let him spend a whole preseason with Kyle Flanagan. With the strike weapons he's going to have on that edge, he could be another one to consider. Yep. I want to throw Raymond Faitala-Mariner at you. He's going to be sitting at about 400K heading into next season. As we said, a lot of their play is going to go down the left edge, so I can see a lot of Kyle Flanagan dumping off to RFM on the right edge. I think you'll get a heap of base stats over on that side before their left swing. We know how good RFM can be. Timmy, is next year the year where he can put it together?
Possibly, yeah. And we've seen him average 60-plus in the past, particularly when he gets a string of games together. The issue with Raymond is obviously can find an injury, can't he, the poor boy? He's such an elite footballer, and we saw that. He reminds me of it every time he strings games together, but it just doesn't happen often enough. So, again, he's the one that I wouldn't be willing to gamble on starting with. You mentioned it's a good point how they sort of lay off to him with Flano on the right. Doggies players, I'll be all in on the left edge. Yep. And you've just spoken, I think that'll be their go-to because Birdo's going to command so much ball and it won't be Flano as much. So I think Kikau's come in. I think coming from the best team in the competition, he will be overpriced. He's had a really good Supercoach season, but all the blokes in and around Viliami Kikau, I think, are going to benefit with him as a decoy runner and just attracting defenders. So I'm really keen to see how that all pans out. And the bloke you touched on there, but Matty Burton, priced on a 56-point average, I can very confidently say that he'll be starting unders next year, and he'll be hard to go past next season.
And, you know, fair to say, I don't know if this is hopeful or if it's fact. Maybe you guys can tell me. We should score more points next year across the season. He's the goal kicker. He's got that dangerous left edge. So it makes a lot of sense. You know, his kicking game will get better. You know, there'll be the odd 40-20. He loves to score a try with that, you know, with the show and go.
Yeah.
So, Matty Burton's definitely a pick, but I mean, everybody loves Raymond, mate. And if Raymond, unfortunately, one of those is my wife. But if Raymond can find a bit of consistency in the team, bit of play. I mean, he created that try on the weekend that won us the game.
Mm.
You know, the in and away. With the offload, and that created one of the tries. So he's a gun.
Yeah,
he averaged 59 back in 2020, and that was in 69 minutes. So I'm assuming there's probably a few injury affected games there. 58 back in 2018, that was in 74 minutes. So if he does keep himself fit and plays 80 minutes, there's no reason why he can't average 65 plus.
Yeah, I think one of those seasons was the Foz effect. Yeah. So when Kieran Foran was on that left edge. Yeah, he was putting in short ball try. So if he's got someone providing the service, then, you know, whether Flano can pull those points out of him or not is something we need to...
You mentioned Matty Burton, obviously his bombs, there'll be 40-20s. Man, I've been so impressed with his short kicking game this year as well. I didn't think he had it in him, to be honest. That was my biggest worry coming into this preseason. I think as well, and I don't think you'll want him for the whole year, but I feel like there will be a period next year where Josh Adokar, he could score 11 tries in 6 weeks or something ridiculous. He could go on one of those runs. We've seen what Viliami Kikau has done this year for his outside players. If they utilise him properly, Josh Adokar, if you nail the right time, if they have a really clear 5 or 6 weeks where it's a good run for Canterbury and they're going well, he could be an interesting
one. He'll be like a stock, won't he? Where it's like, he'll have that run, he'll get up to like 700K, 5-game average of 100, and then he'll come into tough games and you'll be like, I know I have to sell him, but I can't do it. You've just got to get out 21. At the right time. Yeah.
And I mean, there's been games this year where he scored multiple tries and still hasn't scored unbelievably well, but so many tries he scored off were kicks. And they're 17 alone.
What about that little period there where he scored three or four tries in a couple of weeks? They were intercepts.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So the one, I think he got one, maybe two against the Gold Coast. We were there that day, and we were at the end he was running towards in the first half. He took a couple of intercepts. So, I mean, they're obviously not big scoring.
Yeah. But I just think with kick out, there'll be more line breaks
and
stuff there that'll make it more interesting. Now, we just covered your Canterbury Bulldogs, mate. More importantly, Blue Wealth Property, major sponsor of Beers and Break Evens this year. What's been doing?
Mate, we're just plugging away. There's a lot of noise out there in the marketplace. So people are a bit concerned, a bit scared. One of our favourite sayings, if you listen to one of our research analysts, Gavin, who says, when in doubt, zoom out. So if you have a look at the interest rates now, they're still very low, even if they go up again. They're still very low. So I think the what I want to say to everybody that's watching is if you're in a position to invest in property, do it. One of the things we're doing at the moment is we just took out a subscription that gives you access to newspaper headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And so Johnny, one of our research analysts, is going back over the years looking at research, looking at headlines about property. And, mate, it's cut and paste, honestly. Every five, like you go back and you got your fair income, it's the same version of the same story all the way back, you know. Property to never rise again, you know. Property the worst asset class. You look at it, it's 1984. Well, if you'd bought in 1984 and you still had it today, you would have gone all right.
You're cruising.
So, median house in Sydney is 1.4 million now, just under. When we had the Olympics here, it was 287.
Yeah, wow.
So people lose sight of that. And they lose sight of, and most of the reasons why people don't do things in life, whether it's property investing or whatever, is fear. And fear comes from the media. You know, people listen to the wrong people. They feed them rubbish and bullshit. And they eat it, you know. So
eat it up for breakfast.
Yeah. They do.
I went out actually to one of Tony's talks. He was the guest speaker with good mates of yours, Paddy and George from Mortgage Choice, who the SC Playbook Faithful will be very familiar with. I was like, all these blokes on one stage, and I heard this. And it was very nufty in the market. I was sort of getting excited listening to you. I learned an absolute stack from it, and I sort of started thinking, oh, maybe I'm not too far away from this as I think. If I can get a loan from the Bank of Guru over here, if you can give me a good rate, I'll be a chance. But, mate, I got a stack out of it, and you actually gave a similar chat to the Doggies.
Yeah, I did. So one of my teammates at work, one of my staff, is Andrew Mortimer, the son of the great Turvey.
Good pedigree.
Great pedigree and great bloke too. So I actually recruited him from the Dogs. So he was my BDM at the Dogs. So I recruited him from the Dogs And one of the things that he and I had been speaking about for many years was the fact that these young boys, these young men, were in this sort of peak earning capacity of their life 30 years before the general population. You know, so most people are there in their 40s or 50s when they're earning peak money. These blokes are earning it in their 20s. Mm. And most of them don't get the right advice or the right guidance from anybody. So after speaking with Aaron Warburton and John Currie, the CEO and chairman, we put together a little program, went out and did a couple of presentations to the boys, and mate, they lapped it up. You know, the Fox is a funny character, mate. Halfway through the presentation, he yells out, "Bruh, give me, what's your number, bruh? Give me your number." he's a champ. He's actually a champion bloke. And it was very cute. So, but just some of these other the younger blokes, you know, Braden Burns, very clever young man.
Yeah.
Jackson Tarpanay, you know, beautiful kid.
My boy Joey Stimson.
Joey Stimson's a champion, mate. I actually caught him and we had a bit of a chat. And I said, "Oh, mate, what are you up to?" He said, "Oh, I'm just studying." So very clever bloke. We both have an interest in history, funnily enough. But top bloke. And when you get to know some of these guys, and you know, I think having spoken to 40 of them, you realise that they're like a cross-section of society, you know? You got your really, really responsible blokes. You got your really, really loose blokes. Mm. You got blokes who've got no idea. You got blokes who are already all over it. A whole bunch of them own property already, which I was really glad to see.
Mm.
Some and the ones that do generally have someone guiding them.
Yeah.
Maxie King, for example, he's got great support from his dad.
Smart little cookie, Maxie King.
He is, yeah. Max, yeah, top bloke too. So, again, for us, the opportunity to educate is a really important part of that process. And, you know, what you learn, mate, is what we want to try and teach as many people as possible. Don't listen to the noise. I always say everyone's got an uncle who knows everything and owns fucking nothing. Right? Yeah. And they're the people listen to. "Oh, no, don't do that, mate. I'll wait until the market crashes." Well, that bloke's been waiting 40 years.
Yeah.
You know?
So come up with duck
eggs. The market's not going to crash. You know, it's coming back a little bit like it does at every peak of every cycle. But it'll keep moving.
I've got a dad on me left who jibbers in my ear every week, just crap that I don't need to listen to. Correct. So perfect example.
Correct, mate. He's the uncle I'm talking about. Your old man. Sometimes it's our partner, sometimes it's our mates, but I suppose if I can give you some good advice, you know, if you're going to listen to super coach advice, listen to people who actually know it and play it, not people who think they know it and play it.
That's why I almost left you out this year. But anyway, mate, if people want to get in contact with yourself, Blue Wealth Property, how do they go about it?
So, mate, Google's your friend, but we're on socials, Facebook for all the oldies like me, Insta for all the, you know, a little bit younger brigade out there, but Blue Wealth on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, email me tony@bluewealth.com.au.
Have I seen some TikTok appearances too? Have I seen a couple of videos floating around?
My TikTok is, so the other, one of my other great passions in life outside of property and rugby league and my family is wine.
Yeah.
So my TikTok is Tony's Thirsty, as is my one of my Instagram accounts. So if you love your wine, jump on Tony's Thursday.
Mate, I showed the cellar to my missus the other day. Yeah. She was filthy. She loved it. She was obsessed. I didn't get my phone back for about 15 minutes.
You are welcome anytime, mate.
I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about her. She might tear the place apart.
That's fine.
No a bit of red
there's enough wine there, mate.
No. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Can't wait to sleep in the lounge later. mate, let's get stuck into the Manly Seagulls. Now, I had their best for 2022. Ruben Garrick, Olakau'atu, probably the best guys, but also Kohler. We got him at basement price. He was sensational for us, made money. If you moved him on at the right time, you had to be patient with Kohler. But he went on a little tear where he scored a couple of meat pies. Would have been interesting to see him stay at fullback for the rest of the season. But he was pretty good for us. I know you mentioned before that Olakau'atu did a bit of a number on you. But I think Ruben Garrick, he was the must-have from the Manly Seagulls this year, Timmy.
No question.
Yeah, and Garrick, like, how well he converted to obviously fullback and how well he scored there without Tommy Turbo. And there, you know, he's as effective on the wing, because if he's on the wing, it means Tommy Turbo's at fullback, just feeding him, just dishing him good ball. So Garrick is just becoming one of the absolute elites of Supercoach, isn't he? And again, he'll be top dollar to start next season, but it's so funny to say that he's actually probably better on the wing, you'd argue, than fullback, because Tommy's dishing him.
It's crazy. You would never, like, I can't think of another player that would ever say that.
What a good goal kicker too.
Yeah,
like, kicks his goals.
He hits them.
He's also one that because of his ceiling, especially with Tommy in that side, he can hurt you if you don't. Like, he can go 152 weeks in a row and hurt you bad. So he's always a tough one not to own.
Yeah. And he can go 150 by having eight touches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's crazy what he's capable
and
of
his,
doing.
And his tries are high scoring plays.
Super coach plays,
He gets the line break, he gets the try, he gets a couple of tackle breaks, you know, like,
and then he
kicks
the goal.
So, you know, he does one of those a game, and which on average is that probably does it, you know, something like that. There's a 30-40 point play.
I will say this about Garrick, it will be interesting next season. Obviously Kieran Foran's leaving on that edge. I think it's criminally underrated what Foz does for that edge. Yeah. So it will be interesting to see if he scores. I know Tom's still going to be there and he's an absolute freak,
it's
but I think they will miss Foz.
It's a really good shout.
I think they'll really miss Foz.
Well, Schuster tends to play a bit shorter, doesn't he? He doesn't play as wide. If Schuster ends up in that role, he doesn't play as wide as Foz does. So it'll be interesting to see. He likes that no-look short pass.
Yeah.
The only thing that might happen if it is Schuster there in your spot, he does play shorter more often, but he also plays really square, which will help. So big preseason watch just to see how the edge unfolds. Yeah.
But it will be interesting as well if more ball goes to the right with DCE now that Foz isn't there.
You'd have to, wouldn't it?
You'd have to think so.
Well, the other factor also is Hasler. You know, as a Bulldog supporter, obviously I watched him coach at the Dogs.
Mm.
His play is built around his fullback. So if you have a look at the way Des Hasler-based teams, they play around their fullback. So, which is why their wingers and their centres are good Supercoach players, because he tends to bring in the fullback with the cutout ball or the show and go or whatever. So if Hasler's still the coach next year, I think Garrick's a must-have.
Now, we mentioned Tommy Turbo there. He falls into the most disappointing category, obviously, injury-wise, but... And you know what? For people that brought him at the start of the season, I've got very little fucking sympathy for you, because that was ridiculous.
A lot of them.
Crazy. Mate, there was a heap of them. Thank God there was.
What was the percentage? You guys know the percentage?
Higher than what it should have been.
Without a doubt.
What was even crazier, absolutely, the amount of people that went for a second bite of the fucking cherry and got dusted again. I couldn't believe how many people went in the first time, let alone the second time.
So we'll take a poke into, what do we call it? StatHQ, the SC Playbook Data Center. Tommy Trbojevic. I'll see what we can dig up here. You carry on, Guru.
I'll keep going.
I'll see what I can find.
But Tommy Turbo, a little bit disappointing this season. I imagine he will be... I hope he's a little bit cheaper next year than what he was this year. I think he'll be a pretty much automatic guy that you pick next season for me.
It's hard with the fullbacks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mate, who do you put at fullback? You've got Teddy. You've got Latrell. Pappy will be back.
I think it'll be Pappy Turbo.
Mate.
I think those
two. You've got Turbo.
Two,
yeah. And then you've got these, young, you know, these. I mean, I love the Jaden Campbell, you know.
Yeah.
He's another good. I mean, and then early in the season, if you're trying to make a bit of money, you know, do you go for one of those ones with the, you know, who represents a bit better value? You know, how do you play the fullback position? It's so tough.
Yeah, well, I think there's going to be value in both Turbo and in Pappenhausen. I think those two will be the locks to take in fullback. But and once again, I don't know if I'd have the balls to go in a different direction. I'm not sure if there's anyone that's going to be cheap enough to me to make enough money to counter having to watch Pappy and Turbo to
Pappy's
start the season.
Yeah. For me, Pappy, well, he won me my comp last year, I reckon.
Yeah.
So for me, Pappy's my number one pick. I pick Pappy and then I'll build a team around him.
Yeah, I'll back that. He's
a weapon. At round two last year of this season, I should say, Tommy Turbo was in 17% of the top 1,000. And obviously because he started quite poorly and was a big investment, it goes up to 25% of the top 20,000 coaches.
Yeah, right. That's
and
a
then
stat,
that obviously
man.
Just dropped off around him. So for the price that he cost, it then went down to... So then for round three, before that initial price drop, top 1,000, so obviously people mass sold, 3% of the top 1,000.
Gone.
Down to 10% of the top 20,000, so people have just like panicked, gotten rid of him. And
lost half $1 million in the process.
Yeah.
And trades and all.
Wild. Now, the most disappointing, we've already sort of touched on him, Josh Schuster. There's probably no need for us to go too deep on Schuster. We've spoken about him all year and whatnot, but he does link to our guys to watch. If he is named at 5'8", or in the back row, if he's named in the starting 13 next year, he becomes very, very interesting. He's going to be dirt cheap. You might get him for fucking free based on how he's gone this year. if he is in the 13, yeah, I think you have to take him somewhere. What are your thoughts?
I'm going early on this because I haven't looked at it all as a whole just yet, but if he starts on the edge or at 5'8", which is every chance, I think probably the two most owned players in Supercoach will be Manly Seagulls and will be Josh Schuster and Tom Trbojevic, because Turbo's going to be based on a 61 average. Incredible. It'll be tick over, what, 600K, maybe even less. And then Schuster on a 24 average, he'll be like, what, 210K or something. He'll be in
everyone's team.
Yeah.
Mate, without trying to have a little cheap stab, I thought he'd be lower than a 24 average.
Yeah.
End of the year. I really did. His minutes have just been absolutely shot.
He's been nowhere.
Yeah. So Josh Schuster, I think he will be a very, very interesting one come next year. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he's not in the 13 or the 17 come round one next year.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise around him, isn't there?
Or in Brookvale.
Yeah.
Heaps of noise there. KO Weeks is another one. If he gets an opportunity to play in the 5'8 jersey or in this team somewhere, I really like the look of him.
If not Schuster, is it Weeks? Is it that simple? Or
yeah, what? It could be KO Weeks. Mate, I think, I could be wrong, but I think Cade Custer's got in his contract.
Yeah.
He can return as well. You've also got the youngest Finu. I still think he'll be too young, but he's another one. What about Burbo?
Look, I think he's probably maybe a bit of a victim of his own versatility at times in this Manly outfit. When they see injuries, you know, like he might be a starting centre for 2 weeks. You know, 80-minute player, he's cheap, he looks good. But then a player comes back, he just goes back to being that 20-minute bench role. I think he's a solid footballer. I don't think he's a star that's going to come in at any time and put, you know, a gun second rower or centre out of a position. And he's young, so look, he might be, but I would just need to see him lock down an 80-minute role or a big-minute back row role before I would jump on. But look, maybe, mate, again, 25-point average, so he'll be dirt cheap. If he starts round one, he'll have to be a consideration. Yeah,
I think a lot of it's going to depend on who starts and who doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, it's an auto-emergency nightmare, you know, playing head-to-head. But I think, remember all that talk at one point before Burbo was on the scene? Oh, there's a better Trbojevic coming through. Trbojevic. Well, mate, if a bloke's better than Turbo, he's got to be
better. Oh, so he's the best player in the world, is he?
Yeah, he's the best. Oh, no, he's the best player in history if he's better than Turbo.
But, mate, like that was the genuine chat. Him coming through the juniors. It really was. It was that Ben was the best of them. So,
Well, let's see. I mean, you know, it's still early days. How old is he?
He's young. He's the same age as Schuster. They came through in the same grade. So, whatever Schuster is. 20. Yeah. Let's move to the Dragons. And the Dragons, they might be the most vanilla side in Supercoach. It's a sandwich, hold the butter. We'll just have two slices of bread, thanks. 2022, so they're best on average. Lomax, I'd say Ben Hunt. If you picked your moments with Ben Hunt, he was great. He had a couple of – I don't think he scored too many hundreds. I'm not even sure if he crossed the 100 mark, but he had a lot of 80s and 90s.
He had one big game.
One big one.
But he also had a couple of 15s.
Well, he had a few single digits,
He had a 9 in round 5 in 80 minutes, a 4 in round 9 against the Storm, and then 2 weeks ago against the Tigers, he scored 11.
Yeah. I mean, that's unfathomable to me.
Yeah.
Oh, how does a bloke who was leading the Dally M's and potentially is the Dally M winner this year, how does that bloke score 9 against the Tigers?
Yeah,
like, I just don't understand it.
It's crazy.
You know?
People would have brought him in last week and you would not have knocked it one bit. Yeah.
Well, mate, we spoke about it. That's how we opened the fucking show.
Yeah.
I had to convince myself out of it during the week.
I hope he wasn't the Blue Wolf Player of the Week, mate.
That
week he might have been.
I love this. Didn't even have to tip him off.
It's the only Blue Wolf Player of the Week who got bloody wrong and you're into me. When's this show end? Yeah. Oh, that was... Still, I don't even know why I didn't go AJ Brimson. I'm still rattled by that. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, my son Ben brought in AJ Brimson towards the end there after he got knocked out of head-to-head.
Yeah.
Mate, guy scored a million each week for 3 weeks. So it was crazy.
Brained it. Yeah.
You can send the invoice to Supercoach Playbook at Hotmail.
Yeah, I'll let him know.
He also picked up Ben Hunt, so. Can't win them all. I think Jack Bird, he was pretty good. We'll talk about him soon. Moses Suli, I think he was great for the Dragons this year. Another one that if you had him as a pod and you just picked and choose your weeks correctly. He could have been very interesting. I think he'll be good next year as well. Most disappointing, Amone. He's sort of come into his own at the back end of the season. I've been very impressed with him. I think he'll have a big World Cup, and I think he'll be better for it next year. A lot of people started with him this season. I think you said you were one of them. Pretty disappointing to kick it off.
I had him. I bought him. He was cheap.
Yep.
And as my mate Dave says, they're cheap for a reason, a lot of them. Mm. So with Amone, he had a really good finish to the year.
Yep.
Which is a bit disappointing for us, for anyone who's looking at him next year. Probably not looking at him anyway. Moses Sully was really looking good. He got injured at the wrong time. I reckon he would have been a real pod for a lot of Supercoaches.
Just starting to peak, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah. He was looking really good and really dangerous. And then he got injured. Yeah. You know? So, but for me, Amone, be interesting to see how he shows up next year.
Yeah. He's obviously got the World Cup at the end of the year. He'll be the main guy for Tonga. So hopefully he can carry this form into there. That'd be super exciting. 2023 watch, I don't know. Nothing's really standing out to me. If Jack Bird's named at 13, I'll have a look at him, but he could be at centre by round two. So I'm not filled with confidence.
I don't know if there's anyone in that team that is a watch for 2023.
I had to write... I wrote each week the big squad sort of breakdown of the team this Tuesday for SC Playbook each week, and every single week I got to the Dragons, I think I just wrote the same thing. It was like, Zach Lomax, solid, but higher upside players in better teams.
Yep.
And then it was like, you might be able to find a line on Ben Hunt against soft opposition or maybe something around the Origin period. It was just like, I have nothing to say about them and didn't the entire year. And I can't see why it's going to change, as you said, next year. They're just, they're playing
super. I rate Hook as a coach.
Yeah.
Maybe I've overrated him, but I don't know. I feel like he's scheming towards something, but I put money on them at the beginning of the year to make the eight, and they just fell away, and then they won their last three games. I mean, just weird.
But then, like, you get to the end of the year and you go, fuck, they were disappointing. They weren't that far off the eight still.
Yeah. No, they weren't.
They always seem to just be relevant
they
somehow.
They just don't have the cattle. Do they have the cattle?
I don't think so, but, like...
But then neither did the Cowboys on paper at the beginning of the year, did they?
Yeah, that's fair. You know. Yeah, they're just a... mate, I think vanilla is the best way to describe the Dragons. Okay.
Let's hope for my brothers-in-law that that changes next year, mate. Because
fingers crossed.
Because I've got two tragic Dragons supporting brothers.
I think most of them are tragic, just quietly. To their credit, they're loyal.
Mate, my brother-in-law, Gary, he... The Dragons are going to win the comp every year.
Of course they are. Yeah.
And he knows more about rugby league than anyone.
Might hand the Instagram page over to him.
Charlie's a bit more realistic.
let's move off the Dragons, that tyre fire. We're done with that. Let's move to the Brisbane Broncos. 2022, their best players have here Payne Haas. He was pretty consistent throughout the year. In saying that, we never owned him and we didn't notice it at any point throughout the season, so a bit iffy. But Selwyn Cobbo, the job that he did on the right wing for them, scored a heap of tries. Him and Adam Reynolds had a combination that I couldn't believe.
It was a real revelation, not only for Supercoach, but for rugby league in general.
Yeah.
My son Ben had him, and he won him quite a few matches. He was unbelievable. There was that period there where he just went crazy. It was a three-round average of 100 and something.
And there was a period there where I think most of us started with Selwyn, and we got to about round five and he was going like a busted.
That's right.
That was me. Well, I wanted to sell and I just couldn't make it work. So I thought, I'll sell him next week. It's okay. And then he just went bang, bang, bang,
First six rounds of the year, he didn't score over 49. Rounds 2, 3, 4, he went, this is also against the Bulldogs, Cowboys at Suncorp and then Warriors. He went 20, 22, 22. Round seven... So he's sitting at around 280K at this stage, and then he went on to go 82, 26, 85, 79, 131, 65. Now, as you said, plenty sold off just before that.
I reckon Benjamin bought him. I reckon my son bought him around round seven. Like, he just timed it to perfection, and he just went crazy.
Yeah, because
the other bloke too, that we probably on the bloke on the other wing, who probably didn't get as much respect.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oates.
Yeah.
He had a good season.
Flew under the radar all year.
He really
year,
did, mate. And I reckon he was one of their better players and a big part of why they ended up where they were for a little while there. So I think both their wingers were...
I remember the first team list Tuesday when I saw Oates' name there. I giggled to myself. I thought, are they fucking for real?
Again.
What a player.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Mate, he's finished the season as arguably top three or four wingers in the comp.
Yeah, you know, no doubt about it.
Form-wise. He was awesome.
Now, we've got both wingers there. We spoke about Ezra Mann, a little godsend, smack in the middle of the season, just when you needed a little bit of help with cash. Ezra arrived, went big to start, made us the perfect amount of cash. If he cashed out, you're able to move him to another gun somewhere. I know that I sold Cameron Munster for a couple of weeks during the Origin period, let Ezra make his cash and moved him straight back to Munster, and it was perfect for me. He's obviously fallen off a little bit at the back end of the season, but you'd have to think that he'll be there and thereabouts again next year. But this year, he came at a perfect time for us, didn't he?
He did, yeah, and I was pretty similar to you, mate. Got on him at the right time, sold him at just about the right time. Punched out 69 points in round 17, that second major bye week. I think it was probably the only week that I actually played him, to be honest, and that was fine. He scored, but I needed him to score well, made his cash, and, one of the success stories of the Supercoach season.
Yeah, and he was. There was a lot of talk about Ezra Mann and how good he was going to be and how good he was. He reminds me a lot, as he does a lot of other people, of a young Anthony Milford, and I think he's going to have a massive season next year, Ezra. I think... It's really disappointing for that young brigade of players that they missed out on the finals. Even if they got themselves one final, just a bit, just a one final experience.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
But yeah, that was a cliff, wasn't it, that they fell off? Unbelievable. Yeah, and you know, Dave, who won our Supercoach comp, he's a Broncos supporter. He's a Vietnamese origin. I'll tell you a funny story. His son, Aiden, he's got two kids. His son, Aiden, who... finished in the top 1,000. He didn't win our
good knock.
988. So just shout out to Aiden. Well done. His middle name is Lockyer. Aiden Lockyer Quinn, right? So they are Broncos tragics. And, they were mesmerised by the overachievement of the Broncos, as we all were.
Mm.
Yeah, when they pumped para at Combank, and we're all like, this is unbelievable. Yeah? And they're contenders. And they just fell off a cliff. It was just unbelievable.
Your parents did a similar thing. Isn't your middle name Tongue?
Tonguey.
After the great Alan Tongue, Tim Tongue Williams?
No, I'm actually Tim Shillington Williams.
Shillington.
Big Dave. Big Dave Shillington. There's a bloke. You know what I remember about Dave Shillington? His voice.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Bloke looks like a beast, and then he talks. He's like, he's really gentle.
David Beckham effect. Very Bex, yeah.
That's amazing.
Let's have a look at their most disappointing player of the season. I owned him at the very start. I know that you are number one ticket owner in the Tony Staggs fan club, and he has maybe the worst influence on your life, would you argue?
It's aside from you, mate.
He's the most toxic relationship I think you've ever had,
like,
by
you know,
far and
he
away.
Didn't hurt me that bad because I very rarely played him. Like, I'm trying to remember... I started with him. He was cheap and he opened up with 23, 32, 36, 38. And I was like, dear Lord, just keep faith in this boy. Like, it's coming, it's coming.
And it did.
Then he went back-to-back tons against the Roosters and Panthers. Yep. And then the rest of the season...
What the fuck is that,
honestly.
All the matchup people are just dying. They're like, let's sell him before the Panthers game.
Yeah. And then, he followed that up with 37 against the Dogs. It was like, and before that was 38 against the Warriors. You're just going, and it was the whole season in and out. So I think overall scoring wise, I probably didn't go that bad. But then I was going to sell him sort of. I held him for round 17, and he tunned up against the Dragons in that second major bye week. So I was like, sweet, he's repaid some faith. That's handy enough. I was keen to sort of sell him not long after that, after a few soft matchups. And just because we lost, I lost Ponga, we lost Pappenhausen, Cleary, and a few others, stop smoking.
You lost who?
All these came in, I was sort of like, you know what, I'll just hold him and I'll play him for the matchups against the Knights and the Tigers and a few other soft ones. 38 points against the Knights, 52 against the Tigers, the Dragons in the final week scored about 23.
I mean, based on that, honestly, you can't own Cathoni Staggs.
not until Brisbane's game plan changes dramatically to get him involved. Until that happens, not happening. Like, yeah. It just...
Because he's got no base stats. That's the other, that's the other
he'll
challenge.
Be back.
Yeah?
Yeah. We'll both get sucked back in.
I know.
Yeah.
Wim Tilliams will be on him, mate.
Did he ever transfer you that 50K?
Oh.
Have you heard this one?
Tell
him the yarn.
The year I finished second, Katonia was like one of my major pods that I had. I went in finally coming second, I think. And I was set up better than anyone else around the sort of top 10. Katonia had a really soft match up on the Thursday night. Can't remember who it was against. And I was like, he's my boy. If he comes out, he was in ruthless form. I was like, he's every chance of turning up here and I could be on my way to 50K. ACL 10 minutes into the game.
Oh, and mate, he would have scored 100. He was on fucking fire.
I'll be able to get it up. But
there's a bit of fate.
Yeah.
Mate, he was on like 30 or 40 after 7 minutes or something. He
was going absolutely nuts and I was just like, yeah. I was going, how good is this? I'm on here and he didn't help me. And funnily enough.
Did you do that one of those screen at the TV? Yeah, the old, no.
I was.
You would have done worse than that.
Naturally gutted.
Oh, yeah.
So, he was played.
Last round of the year as well.
He lasted 11 minutes against the Cowboys, who were going terribly. And the following night was the Bunnies Roosters game.
Cody exploded?
And I had Cody and Cam Murray as pods. Cody broke the Supercoach record with 200. Cam Murray was about 140. Anyway. Let's move on.
Well, that was a couple of years ago.
He hates money anyway, so.
Yeah, overrated. Yeah.
It was Aiden, who I was talking about earlier, the Broncos supporter. He had Cody, and I think he might have even had him captained, and just obviously blew the grand final up.
Yeah. All they put 60 on the Roosters.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Crazy. Guys to watch for next year, Reece Walsh. He arrives at the club at fullback. I imagine he will be a little bit cheaper than what he probably usually would be. Won't goal kick like he did this year with Adam Reynolds at the club, though. So, want to consider Reece Walsh. Paddy Carrigan, you brought him up.
Massive fan of Paddy Carrigan, mate. He's got amazing base stats. The bloke's going to make 40 or 50 tackles a game, you know. He's got a good offload in him. He's got the odd try in him. He hits the ball up every set. Like, the guy's an animal, and he plays big minutes. So, for me, I think Paddy Carrigan, and I reckon he'll be better next year than he was this year. So, for me, I'll be starting with Paddy Carrigan next year.
We spoke about it. If something does happen, the Payne Haas leaves the club. Paddy Carrigan, I think, becomes a must-have.
He's just, we know his motor's relentless, and he runs every time that he can, but so does Payne Haas. So, if Payne Haas stops taking two runs a set, Carrigan could just go bonkers.
And I reckon he's Taumalolo, peak Taumalolo. Carrigan, I'm going to put it out there.
Ooh.
He's peak SC Taumalolo.
Yeah, but he has just got so much more to his game as well. That's like, he's more well-rounded.
He'd be far better base than even peak Taumalolo, but Taumalolo's just tackle-busting. His peak was nuts. He had, like, 15 tackle-busts a game, just rack him up.
Crazy.
Reece Walsh is one that I think he's a freak, and we saw what he did in a really disappointing Warriors outfit. If he goes to a Broncos side, hopefully not, because I'm a New South Welshman, but go better next year and show what they did at times this year. I think he could be a really, really big improvement in Supercoach and start undervalued. The issues are obviously goal kicking, as you mentioned, and just he's only going to be available at fullback, you'd imagine, unless there's some tricky thing.
Is that another problem?
Yeah. If there's something pulled in pre-season where he plays trial games at 5'8 or something and Supercoach HQ get excited and put him dual position maybe, but at fullback, there's just going to be better options, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, we had this conversation before. The fullback is a – you know what we need? They need to change CTWs to fullbacks, and we can have four fullbacks and two CTWs.
Not bad.
But for me, I mean, you know, Pappy, Luttrell, Teddy, Turbo, you know, there's just too many options.
Yeah, he came out and said the other day that – he's been signed as a fullback, and that's the plan for him. So
he's a fullback.
But yeah, if something does happen, then he ends up playing six. Fuck, it'd be handy to get him with a duel there for a couple of good matchups.
Will he play six? You got Mam there. Cobbo's already resigned to the fact he's playing wing.
Yep.
I can't see him not playing fullback.
Yeah, I think he'll be at one. The other one is just a young guy, and I don't know if he'll make the team next season. It's obviously a pretty stacked back line, but Quai Ward, we obviously saw Branko Lee. He was probably the next man up for a couple of weeks there, and your Delawese Hoitus, I reckon this guy's one to keep an eye on. So if he comes in during the season, could be a nice little nuff cheapie for the back end there. But that will do us, guys. Thank you for Tony the team at Blue Wealth Property. Go out, grab yourself a case of Bloke and a Bar this week. It's a good drop,
Midi, yeah, I haven't had
Midi
it
goes well.
Pretty awesome.
middies to get on. Just remind us all one more time, mate, if people want to reach out to Blue Wealth Property, how do they find you?
Bluewealth.com.au. We're actually about to launch a new website in the next few days, so go jump on and check it out. Follow us on Insta, like us on Facebook, jump on LinkedIn, whichever your whatever you prefer.
Yeah, good.
Beautiful. Yeah.
You got anything to say?
Absolutely nothing.
You done?
Go the milk.
Can't wait to see the back end of it.
Go the milk. I'm going to say go the milk.
Yeah, bloody oath.
Love the milk.
Hopefully
you finished well.
Hopefully they're out of the comp by the time people are watching this, just quietly.
Yeah.
Oh, give us a score prediction. They'll know in hindsight, Melbourne, Canberra this week.
Raiders to grit their way to a 20-18 victory.
I actually don't hate it.
I reckon, is my prediction, I reckon Canberra are morals. I reckon Melbourne are gone.
Morals. Be cool.
I reckon they are the biggest, my biggest favourite of the weekend.
Ooh.
Melbourne. I mean, look at Canberra and Melbourne. Have a look at their record. I think they've won the last three of the last four. Melbourne are playing like bastards. They've got no Pappy.
Mm.
I know they didn't have Hughes, but they just seem to be lost. And one thing we know over the last 15 years about Melbourne, they don't beat themselves, right? They don't make mistakes.
Mm.
You know, you have a look at that game last week. How many mistakes did they make? Forward passes from Jesse Bromwich.
Yeah.
You know, drop blatant open drop balls. Like just balls going to ground. I mean, that's just not Melbourne.
Mm. I've never changed my tune on a bloke in a shorter amount of time in my entire life than you, Tony.
I think he's just put the jinx on your team. And
my brother, who's a Canberra supporter, might kill me for this.
Yeah.
And so are my nephews.
Yeah, love it.
He's got a part-time job just making your life harder. Thanks for joining us again, guys. We'll see you next week where we'll be going through the bottom four of the top eight teams, reviewing all of their best players and most disappointing and having a look at 2023, the guys to watch. That'll be available next Monday afternoon, so stay tuned for that on YouTube and on the podcast. Cheers, guys.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.